Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Al-Messiah come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Four phrases, four words summarize some of the key liturgical themes on this Sunday of the Samaritan Woman. Some of it is found in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. All of them are found in the Gospel account. And if you were to pray Orthros or Vespers for this Sunday, you would find all four themes. Water, Spirit, the end of religion, and the Savior of all. Water and Spirit, the end of our religion, and the Savior of all. This past Wednesday, the church celebrated was called the Feast of Mid-Pentecost, because now we are in the middle of this Pascha season. And with that feast day, Mid-Pentecost, the church begins to focus and prepare us for the great Feast of Pentecost. Because what happened on Resurrection Sunday is is the beginning of what culminates on Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what we see are the four themes: water, Spirit, the end of religion, and the Savior of all. The predominant biblical metaphor that will permeate the church's liturgies beginning last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, all the way to Pentecost, is a particular metaphor of water. Water is there in the very beginning of creation, and it's there at the very end of salvation history in the book of Revelation. And water is a crucial metaphor all in between, whether you're looking at Abraham or Moses or Isaiah, Hosea. All these figures of the Old Testament speak of the metaphor of water. And then we get into the New Testament and we see John in particular loves this metaphor of water, using it from all this rich biblical imagery. The troparion for the Feast of Mid-Pentecost, we heard it as the second troparion of today's liturgy. It hymns these words, quote, "At the middle of this festive season, give my thirsty soul to drink of the waters of true worship. For you called out to all men, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. O Christ God, fountain of life, glory to you." End of quote. All four themes are right there in that troparion. Thirsty soul to drink. Waters of true worship. There it is, waters. And what is the water that Christ gives us? What's the water that quenches? He tells us in John 7, the water is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what quenches the thirst. And when we receive that water, it's true worship. So it's the end of all religion. It's all religion, as the Old Testament, as the old ancient people would speak of religion, right? As we can see with the woman of Samaria, they argue about where's the holy location? What's the holy mountain we're supposed to be worshiping on? What are these ritual actions we're supposed to be doing? We're following Joseph. You're following David. They're arguing about all these things. And the Lord says, basta! All that's going to go away. Because I am the true worship. It's in spirit and truth. It's not found in a local place and with particular ritual actions. And it's for the salvation of all men. For you, Lord, called all people to your fountain. There are the four themes right there in the troparion for the mid-feast of Pentecost. for the feast of mid-Pentecost. And how does the church respond to this troparion of mid-Pentecost? Today, if you prayed Vespers last night, if you prayed Orthos this morning, the church gives us who? Gives us the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman. Later on, tradition will call her Saint Photini. Photini means the one who has been illuminated. The one has been illuminated. And the kondakion for this day, for the Samaritan woman, is this. Quote, "The Samaritan woman came to the well with faith. And she saw you. You, the master of wisdom. And you satisfied the thirst of her soul. And she inherited the kingdom of heaven forever," end of quote. Again, all four themes are there in that kondakion, right? She's thirsting. She's thirsting. So that's the water. And what's going to quench her? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Samaritan woman? She's not a Jew. She belongs to a heretical group of people, the Samaritans. And she's called, she's introduced, and she's brought into the kingdom of heaven. It's the end of all religion, because she's found the kingdom itself. Water and Spirit, the end of all religion, and the Savior of all. The Lord today, as we're preparing for Pentecost, is inviting you and me and every person who thirsts to come to Him. The Samaritan woman was thirsting for water. She came to the well not knowing the Lord would be there. And the water the Lord gives her is that Spirit that satisfies the human heart. That woman, Saint Photini, came to realize Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And for the Samaritan people, the Messiah, a little different understanding, was the one who had come to restore. He is the great restorer. So she's saying, this is the great restorer. And what does she do? When she comes to realize, is this the Messiah? She leaves, John tells us carefully, these details. She leaves her bucket there at the well. Her thirst has now been satisfied, as not with earthly water. Her thirst has been quenched. And therefore, this is now the end of all religion. Note, when the conversation between the woman and the Lord gets too close for comfort, the Lord asks her, right? He says, you wanna have your thirst quenched? And the woman says, oh, yeah. I'm tired of coming here in the middle of the day, at the heat of the day, and drawing water out and taking it back. I just wish my thirst will be satisfied. And the Lord says, what? Go call your husband. Go call your husband. And the woman can only imagine what's going through her mind at this moment. And her probably sheepish response, her embarrassing response, because she knows, ooh, I have no husband. And the Lord says, that's right. You've had five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband. And she's floored, amazed, and embarrassed that this stranger can read her personal life. So what does she do? As human tendency wants to do, we all do this. And probably when we talk to other people and confront them about the truth in their own life, what do they do? She changes the subject. It's getting too close, too comfort. So now what does she do? As people who are wanting not to convert and change their lives, let's not talk about religion at a personal, let's not talk about theology at a personal level. Let's take it to the abstract. Let's have a theological debate. It's abstract, nothing personal. It's safe. So she's diverting attention from her personal life. What does the Lord do? You want the model of evangelization? This passage is the model of evangelization. The Lord says, you don't want to talk about it? It's too close. That's fine. He doesn't push it. You want to have the theological debate? Let's have it. Let's have your diversion. And so when she begins, well, which mountain are we supposed to be worshiping on? Who is the one following what our forefathers gave us? We're following Joseph. You're following David. And the Lord responds, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father also seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We're not talking about mountains and temples and altars and all these ritualistic actions and these quote-unquote sacred places on earth. No, we're going into spirit and truth. And who is spirit and truth? The Son and the Holy Spirit. And they will reveal the Son, the Father. And that is true worship. True worship is rooted in the living person, Jesus the Christ. He's the truth, right? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what does he give? His spirit. So we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that alone is what quenches the thirst of the human heart. This woman represents, in a way, humanity. 5 men had been her husband, and she was never satisfied. She had this restless longing. And then she finds a 6th man to live with, and she's still searching. She's still restless. Her heart is still longing for something more to be satisfied. The Lord, he's the bridegroom. He's the 7th. And the number 7 is the number of completion. He's the one she's been looking for all her life. The one for which she's been thirsting for all of her life. Photini symbolizes every human soul and the restlessness of the human heart, oftentimes seeking satisfaction in all kinds of creaturely things and people, and not in the Spirit and in the truth, the Son and the Holy Spirit. We try to quench our restlessness with friendships, human relationships, human intimacy, work, recreation, human knowledge, human learning, human comforts, human securities. And we can go on and on and on and look at all the things we try to satisfy that deep longing in our heart. But as St. Augustine so aptly said, quoted, for all these centuries, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Every human endeavor leaves us wanting for more, and we keep coming back to the well with our empty buckets, hoping that maybe this time, this particular thing will satisfy my thirst, and it never does. The 4th theme, the Savior of all. This gospel passage is a most scandalous one to read for a Jew in the time of our Lord and the first disciples of our Lord. Why? For 2 reasons. First of all, Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. Samaritans were heretics. They had mixed and mingled with the Gentiles and watered down the true faith of Moses that was handed on to them. They watered down the covenant. Second, Christ is speaking one-on-one with a woman. You didn't do that in those days. But worse, he's talking one-on-one with a public sinner. She's a harlot. She's a woman of ill repute. Why does St. John point out that she's going to get water at the 6th hour, 12 o'clock noon, the heat of the day? People didn't do that back then. You went and got your water in the morning. And usually with time to socialize with the community. The women would come together around the cistern, around the well, and they'd be getting their water, and they would be talking, visiting. This woman, 6 hours, she's isolated and exiled from the community because she's a public sinner. And the Lord is talking to her. this is why the apostles are scandalized. A Samaritan, and at that, a public sinner. Women who show up at that hour are not good women in the society of that time. She, knowing her shame, in fact, also is shocked that the Lord even engages her. And note, she comes to the well. The Lord's already sitting there. And you can just picture it. She's nervous. She's uncomfortable. She's just kind of minding her own business, going to kind of quickly get in her water and move on. And what happens? The Lord says, "Are you thirsty?" And she's like, "You're talking to me. You're talking to me." Much more can be said about this rich and profound gospel. So much more. Time, though, constrains us to say these few thoughts. Nevertheless, we can say this. St. John the Evangelist records this encounter to emphasize that Jesus of Nazareth came to save all people. No one is excluded. And that's why at the end of his passage about this particular account, he says, they say, "He is the Savior of all people," say the Samaritans. And the church then gives us what reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. When the Gentiles, the pagans in Antioch, come to believe in Christ. And it is in Antioch where these pagan Gentiles are first called Christians. The Lord came to save all people, and we can see this preparing us for the feast of the Holy Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon all people to draw all people back into the one family of God. Water and Spirit, the end of all religion, and the Savior of all peoples. These are the themes to reflect upon between now and the great feast of Pentecost. Our hearts thirst for the living water. Yet how are you and I satisfying that thirst? For what does each one of us need to repent? A metanoia, in order to receive anew in a short 2-3 weeks, that great second gift of the Father in heaven, the gift of the Holy Spirit.